There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Kissel, here we go. Kissel, yep. Fucking pop quiz.
All right.
What is the smallest container I could fit chunked up parts of your body in to hide them? Now, this has got nothing to do with
you're asking
planning.
Me to give advice to you about how to kill me and get rid of my body? Why would I be the person to ask that question to?
This is not an advice segment. This is more of a curiosity segment. More of like, what do you think about yourself? What if we could chop you up? If I had to chop you up,
sure,
get rid of existence of like your dead body.
Yes, well, that would make a lot of sense.
But I'm not saying that again. Not a plan. But if you were, what could we get you in?
This is already coinciding with your plan that you want to cut off my legs to buy me a cheaper casket, so you don't have to spend any freaking money, even in my death. But okay, go on.
I just don't want to embarrass you at your funeral at the sheer size of your coffin.
Thank you. You know what I mean?
I don't want to hear be like, look how fucking big that coffin is. Because like, you know everyone's going to be whispering it if we have to get the extra large one. We want to find a way to, and we're not going to fully remove your legs. We're just going to cut them so that they can hinge up.
Right. That's great. No,
so
thank you.
So you look like Dorf.
Dorf on golf, Dorf on death. I'm fine with it. Thank you. Now the pastor won't go into roast mode. Screw his eulogy and just say, okay, let's make fun of the tall bastard. Not that I think a pastor will be the one going over or being the main speaker in my funeral, but I'm not in charge. So I don't know.
Don't know what I'll do.
Yep.
I think that if we cut you up into tiny enough bits,
okay,
I probably could either feed you to a bunch of bigger ravens.
Uh-huh.
Right? And maybe get rid of you that way.
Sure.
Or I could fill you up full, like, honestly, go for that Queen's Rich second refrigerator meat freezer. One of those and leave it inside one of those, bag it up, freeze you up. You just kind of sit in there for a long time. Because my mom has meat in that fridge since, like, 2012.
Now that I think of it, H-Bone, screw the casket. I want the double meat freezer. That's how I want to be buried. Tape it up. Put me in the ground. Keep it plugged in because I want to be on ice. Just like a cold beer that killed me.
It's bad for the planet, but I will do it for you. I think you should be allowed to have that last wish.
Thank you. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben with Henry. We have some crazy stories this week. What was something that 2020 didn't have? Well, serial killers. Except for now, perhaps we have one. It's crazy what's going on in Seattle.
I don't know whether or not it's a serial killer or whether or not it's kind of like what they said when they found those mysterious bodies that were all lined up in Long Island a couple of years ago.
Yes.
I want to say that was like 8 years ago.
Yep.
Where they said it might not be the lair of a serial killer, but it might just straight up be a place where people bury bodies. And
okay,
two mobsters come in and be like, hey, Frank, what are you doing? What are you dropping here? This guy cheated me at pool yesterday. Bury him over here. It's where the gold's shit.
Well, you should never cheat at pool. You're going to end up getting buried in Long Island. This is a question then for the audience and for you, Mr. Zabrowski. What's scarier? One serial killer dropping off all of their victims near the river, or just tens of people having one murder under their belt? I feel more comfortable if it's one person because that makes it a lot easier to find the sociopath. To avoid the sociopath.
The one person idea, actually, I find much more scary. The other one, I find it's kind of, I have more of a feeling of a fostering sense of community. And allowing people to mingle once again. That's phase four is being able, phase four of the hope of the release is being able to group bury a body together.
Well, speaking of bringing people together, theoretically, that's what social media is supposed to do. Doesn't really seem to be working. That's also what TikTok is doing. And in this case, TikTok gave us a true crime saga.
Look at this. All right. So this comes from this. I'm using the source from heavy.com. This is over the weekend, a TikTok video shows rando nodding teens finding suitcase with dead body parts. Now, this was written by Jessica McBride. So first of all, I'm going to just explain what rando nodding is.
Yes.
I also have just learned what it is. It is an app that you can download onto your phone. There used to be, I think, back in the day,
Okay.
We used to abuse to have fun, and I think people still do, more in the nerdier spectrum, when I'm with you. People used to do geocaching. Or
yes.
used to do, like, ARGs. We did an ARG. I was a part of an ARG called This Is My Milwaukee that
yes.
turned into Bears Turns Bravo, and we had an ARG where coordinates for a specific meetup were hidden into the HTML of posted videos, and then internet sleuths would have to go into the source material, find these little coordinates, and then show up for, like, kind of fun ideas. And then geocaching
yes.
is that people go search for something, right?
Geocaching,
they go search for something.
I had a chance to go on a geocache treasure hunt. We did a bar hop along with it. It was super freaking fun. Although now I think you would just get arrested for, like, being a peeping Tom, or just, like, you know, people now I think would be a little bit more scared if you're digging around a lamppost and you're just here. I'm here to find a post-it note that has words of encouragement on it, officer.
But that's what we're in a new surge of it. The last surge we saw was the Pokemon Go, right?
Yes.
Pokemon Go created the scary world of monsters everywhere, and they all are different colors and they're different sized wings, and you have to go, you're looking for them, and I'm like, I want to stay away from them.
And now, of course, and they're not real, Henry.
No, they're right there.
And of course,
I'm looking at it.
No,
I'm making it real.
Can you not play the app when we're recording, please? Also, you're 35 years old. Also,
Whoa.
With Pokemon Go, speaking of dead bodies, woo, a bunch of people looking for Pokemon found Poke dead people, I don't know, or people with pokes in them. I have no idea what I'm trying to say. I'm worse than Hillary Clinton, Pokemon Go to the polls. But they found a bunch of corpses while playing that game.
They did.
And now we're seeing TikTok.
And they got mugged and all that stuff. So, but now we're seeing TikTok has had a fascination with a new app that is in the same world called, it's like RandoNot, I believe what it's the term is. And the idea is that, you know, in the guise of stealing your location and search imagery, search information, what they're showing you is that it's this idea that you put your location in, you make an intent, like you think of something you want, like, I want to see something unexplainable, like
Ooh.
I want to see this stuff. And then they believe that your mind can influence a random number generator. And there's a lot of studies the CIA actually has done
huh.
in terms of remote viewing about the concept of, can your brain fuck with what random numbers do, like random number generators? Can
right.
you help steer them? And so what it does, the random number generators create like a set of coordinates for you to go to, and it's a fun little exercise for TikTokers, right?
Okay.
Where they're going out, it's helping people that are stuck inside during the pandemic. They're going out to go see the world
yeah.
and they're good, these weird little corners. But one group did not find anything remotely fun. There's these two teenage girls. You see this video. They're all having a really good time. They discover this little suitcase out in this rocky beach. And they're all like, oh, dude, look, dude. It's a suitcase. Oh, it took us to a suitcase. And they're all like, poke it. Poke it. And the one girl goes down. She kind of scrambles down the rocks with the stick. And she's like, I'm poking the bag. I'm poking it. And they're like, okay, open it. Open up the bag.
What I love the most about this TikTok video, obviously extremely tragic. We all know that. But the funny thing about this is the innocence of youth in the beginning, where they're like, what could it be? Could it be full of money? Maybe
treasure?
It's gold coins. Is it treasure?
No.
It's like, no, this is 2020 and this is the real world. You don't open up a box full of cash. You don't open it. No, indeed.
No,
it's,
it doesn't work like that. Because
no.
as they open, they're like, open it up. And they're like, man, that smells bad.
Mm-hmm.
It smells real bad.
Yeah, that's not
and
bad.
And then they go poke, and they're like, oh, we should call the police. And then you watch them become adults.
It was,
you watch the trauma
really
set into these kids.
Oh.
And then they sit there and they're just like, oh my God. As they watch, and then it just cuts to all of these articles of these bodies figuring out. And now what they're saying is, this was the one body was found inside of it. It was a black plastic bag. So they were all going, saw
inside of the suitcase, of course.
They zipped up. They went to go find later on. People, witnesses saw SPD zipping someone up or something into a full-size black body bag.
So this is according to Seattle police, who are now investigating several body bags. So thank you to those TikTok gals
they
who were just out there having a good time. You guys put on your detective caps. Unbeknownst to you, you woke up in the morning a girl, you're going to bed a woman.
It's not good.
It's not fun to be an adult. That's the ultimate lesson. So yep. Seattle police have now found multiple bags. Officers responded to the call. This was at Elliott Bay in West Seattle. Police searched around and found a second bag floating in the water nearby. This is according to Steve Booty. He says, there was Steve Booty. There
Steve
was a police
big old booty. I love him. He must love that. He must love getting that.
I actually have a very small booty, and I have not enjoyed the last name Booty because they keep on saying I have a big booty, but I have a small booty.
I tell you what, I sometimes go around, and this is more sort of my secret shame, just to stop once the heckling is that I put a pair of balloons in my police uniform.
That must be hard to sit
down. I'm sick of being called Steve No Booty.
Oh, you got a nice booty, Steve. This is what he told Como News, K-O-M-O News. He says, there was a police boat and an inflatable boat, and they had a hook, and they took plastic bags out. I saw them take out two bags. So you know your life did not end in the best circumstance when police are on a boat fishing you out with a hook.
That is not a way I want to go. I don't want to be known as, Henry Zebrowski. He loved to laugh. He ended up as bait.
Absolutely not. So it's unclear if these remains are male or female. This is what I'm going to say when it comes to the person who dumped these body bags. You got lazy with it. Aren't you supposed to dump these bags? You know for a fact this isn't the person who killed them. This is probably a lackey who...
I mean, we don't know.
We don't know.
It could be the mob's son. Are you talking about we have a Corky Romano here?
I think we might have a Corky Romano. You gotta go deep water with it. And my understanding is, I mean, we don't really know, but you gotta weight the bag. I didn't see
you
any weights
have to
in
weight the bag.
So there was just a lot of mistakes being made.
Unless it's low tide. You put it up in high tide.
High tide, Harry.
Orlando, hear me now.
But yes, this person, I'm going to say, obviously in a rush.
Yeah.
Not sitting, not being present.
No.
And that's why I'm going to say this right to you right now. I don't want you to be covering up crimes. I don't want you to. But, you know, we've all made a couple of mistakes in the past. We've all had to figure out, like, you know, maybe you didn't want to kill somebody. You got to kill somebody out of self-defense and you need to hide the body, right?
Yep.
If you need to do that, you sit in the car with the body for a second. Breathe in 4 seconds. Hold for 7 seconds.
Sure.
Slowly release for 6 seconds. Get in a presence of mind, really think about how we need to hide this body. Then you can really get yourself back in the game. But yes, it has to be weighted down. You should probably feed it to dogs. But when it comes down to this story, these TikTokers are really getting to the bottom of it. I don't know what the hell's going on. And well, who knows whatever the hell else Rando Knot shits out. Because now we're going to start seeing whether or not is this the guy planting the bodies?
Well, what's so amazing is TikTok is full of videos. Sometimes they're busty gals. Sometimes they're muscular men. And they're dancing. And they're singing along. So you just imagine you're flipping through your TikTok. You're having a fine time right before bed. And then you stumble upon a crime scene where children have discovered a rotting corpse inside of a duffel bag or inside of a suitcase. It really does have to give you pause. Unless, of course, this is just another desensitization of where we are going as a society, where it's like, oh yeah, Kate Upton's dancing to some song for a Burger King commercial. I don't know what that would be on TikTok. Oh, dead body. Ooh, there's a talking frog. We should stop.
That's
and take
the internet,
it in.
Though.
But you know, sometimes stop, don't flick, and say that was somebody's husband, wife, perhaps son or daughter.
Sure, but I will say, they're not like whatever the Jake or Logan Pauls, whatever they were, they knowingly filmed a bunch of dead corpses. Stuff. They didn't know they were about to discover a corpse. They thought that they were about to discover something fun. And then they found the opposite of fun, which is just one of the crushing realizations of becoming an adult. I remember the first time I saw a dead body on the New York City subway.
Really?
And you just see a dead body sitting there. And I remember a bunch of people being like, hey, man, hey, touching this guy's shoulder and then watching him go slump. Just be dead. He is so just dead. And he was riding that train for free.
Well, you think about that. You knocked him over, huh? You're just knocking over dead bodies.
I was literally on the other side of the train car watching a bunch of guys, because they were like trying to talk. This guy wasn't responding.
Right.
And they were touching him. And then when he slumped over, everyone in the train went, oh!
I could imagine that being quite horrifying. This is why if you're in New York and you're visiting, you got to learn how to look at nothing while still having your eyes open. It's a skill. You will start finding different corners that you never know existed. You can't look at anyone because if they are dead, you got to wait for the police to show up. You're late to a date. You never met the wife that you were supposed to have. Now you're 75 years old. You're lonely, always a bachelor, dying of alcoholism, about to jump off a bridge in San Francisco, all because you found a dead body on the subway and stopped yourself from finding love.
Unless you searched a dead body and you found the hidden emeralds of Gallant, and it gave you a wish of every wish that you ever wanted to come true, and you just had to find this gem hidden deep inside the butthole of a corpse on the New York City subway system.
Well, that's just a coroner's good Sunday. But there is no way that diamond or jewel should ever be kept by you. Obviously, the person that held it died a horrible, horrible death. You know you get three wishes, and then the devil comes back and says, and now it's my turn to make a wish. And then he gapes you or something like that, or whatever the devil wants to do that day.
It's just about you just find a way to make the other side of the wish something that you're into, too. So say, oh, I wish to be famous for something only I can do. And then the devil makes you fucking famous from being the only person that can fucking, like, put your own dick inside of your own asshole, right? Like that thing. And then you just, which is cool, and people would like that.
Right.
And then you just fucking blast yourself every day until your life is shattered and you lose your job. But you understand you're having a good time while you're doing it. Lean in.
Can you imagine? I don't think okay, so the cliche three wishes thing. I want all the money in the world. I want to be famous. I want to, like, whatever, have any partner that I want in the world. Can you imagine ever wanting to be famous? Because all you're going to do is, like, all right, fine, you're famous, and your name is now Mel Gibson. It would just be a nightmare. And you'd be like, oh, you're famous. But yeah, it's like,
oh my God, I'm a fucking asshole.
What? No!
How did this happen to
me? Be careful what you wish for.
Speaking of somebody who's famous who doesn't want to be famous, Milwaukee PD criticized for old tweet congratulating cop who left the Dahmer victim. We put this up. This is from Newsweek. This came up last week. John Balzerak. There was the Milwaukee PD, who's just, holy shit, man.
This is so bad. The
fucking police cannot do a single thing correct.
No.
They cannot do a single fucking thing correct.
So just a little groundwork. Milwaukee PD. First of all, PDs, police departments don't need to be on Twitter. That's number one.
I'm sick of all of it. I don't like funny cop videos. I don't like any of this shit.
I need none of them. So Milwaukee PD, in order to, I guess, be nice, said, we are honoring two of our former officers with a combined 61 years of service. One of those officers, as Henry will explain, maybe doesn't need to be honored at all.
It was police officer John Balzerak. Balzerak was involved in a deadly mistake surrounding the Jeffrey Dahmer case. This is the famous police officer story of the police officer that left the 14-year-old Konarak Simonson summed the phone with Jeffrey Dahmer,
yes,
assuming that the boy, who was nude and bleeding from the asshole, completely fine, and then the Donner, he just left him behind. Balzerak was fired after the incident, and then he was quietly reinstated in May 1994, and obviously the blunder tarnished his name and career, as it should have, but then you reboosted his name. First of all, never should have been rehired ever before. He should have been selling hot dogs.
I believe at one point, I don't want a hot dog.
No food service.
But apparently he was also named Officer of the Year later on in his career. And, you know, as Henry alluded to, allowing this 14-year-old boy to go back with Jeffrey Dahmer, of course, early 90s, gay was icky, and he was just like, I don't want anything to do with it. Also, there was a racial component. There was a lot of African-American women, a lot of black women there, being like, yo, that kid is bleeding from the ass. Jeffrey Dahmer is someone that we know in this neighborhood. He is very scary. He threatened to arrest all of the people that were there, being like, you got to arrest Dahmer and take this kid.
You literally have the most infamous serial killer.
You could have been. The irony is, he could have been a hero. This would have been. I mean, your father found one killer, and he still talks about it to this day.
Yes.
Like, if you are the cop that bust Jeffrey Dahmer, you got a lifetime appointment on CNN, MSNBC. You want to go on Fox News and be like their go-to cop? You can do that too.
Hero cop.
You
would
be that.
The new superhero cop, the fucking horrible wave of honor that Rudy Giuliani, whatever he did, waved after 9/11, and now we're stuck with this fucking ass. Same thing with this bullshit. You could have been good, but you just absolutely fucked it up.
You could have been, I believe it's Paul Holes, the man who found the Golden State Killer, correct?
Oh, he's doing
yeah,
he's
doing good. We met him a few times. He's a celebrity. This officer, because he didn't do his job, got, first of all, multiple people killed. I'm not sure how many folks, again, mostly people of color, mostly black men. I'm not sure how many of them were killed by Dahmer after this. But it's got to be, this is now Dahmer going into Berserker, I believe, because
yes,
I was reading.
I don't remember. Well, it's mid. He had already moved into Milwaukee, so he was already in the middle of it. I don't remember where it fell during his time period of crimes.
A large number of people could have been saved if this cop just did his job. Dare I say, the easiest day to be a cop is when someone runs to you, 14 years old, bleeding from the anus,
from the asshole,
being like, "Hey, I'm being abused. I'm in the presence of a serial killer."
That's
like,
how you be a hero.
Did you just did you just do Uber Eats my job for me? Because this is the easiest delivery I have ever had in my life to arrest a serial killer.
This
you
is
don't
a
have to be freaking
ball hero moment.
So easy. And then he could have made it seem it was a dark, dark night in Milwaukee. Stormy.
I knew. I could tell. I could tell just by the way he was looking at that little kid. I knew he's about to eat him.
He's about
so he's
to
licking
eat
his
him.
Lips. He
could have made himself out to be such a genius. I usually don't take a left down that street, but today something drew me down. Maybe it was the sunlight, or maybe it was the moonlight.
Now he just gets to, and now he gets to peacefully retire. It's fun. I think that the lack of justice here in this country is really helping it. I think where it's really helping just how little justice is happening any way, shape, or form. We still have the cops that killed Breonna Taylor are completely without any. We got the one guy fired, but that's it. Nothing else is happening. It's not. Nobody's helping anybody.
Well, speaking of justice not being done, there has been another Sasquatch sighting, and by Sasquatch, I mean Ghislaine Maxwell, of course, the woman who supplied Jeffrey Epstein with all of his young ladies.
This is our next segment called
Yeah.
When is this bitch? When is this bitch? When is this bitch? Where is this bitch?
That's a great television show for children. And of course, young ladies, I mean young victims. Ghislaine Maxwell, she is reportedly hiding out in Paris, France. Evidently, this is according to according to someone who reached out to The Sun. They say Ghislaine Maxwell has been leaving every month. So staying in a place for a month and then dipping out, trying to get people off of her trail.
Why is she not arrested? That's somebody else I don't understand. How was she? Why is she not somewhere with a cop?
Well, that's what's so interesting. If The Sun, a tabloid, can figure out where she is, I'm assuming the cops can too. This is what the source told the tabloid. Ghislaine is moving locations every month to keep private investigators off her tail and staying at residences of trusted colleagues and contacts. She has stuck around France during the coronavirus pandemic and plans to try to stay in her home country to avoid possible extradition. That is what this source told The Sun. They also say she wants to remain in France for as long as she can, again, to take advantage of extradition laws. So it looks like she's just hanging out in France, having an amazing French breakfast.
And being fucking skinny.
Yep.
And that's all they do over there. I don't know what else happens in France. I'd love to go, but not. I don't want to go. Like, I feel like that's the devil's wish, where I'd be like, oh, I wish I could go to Paris. And then it's just me fucking being Ghislaine Maxwell's butler in Paris. You're like, I got how many NDAs? Look at this pile of NDAs.
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of paperwork to sign when speaking with that chick. It's cool, man. France is nice. They got a lot of bikes. I went to an awesome place there. They gave us wine out of baby bottles, and it was very communal, and everyone eats together. I'm not saying this was a grooming place. I was 17 years old. I don't think that they wanted to be like Big Baby Ben, come and get naked in the back for us. It was just kind of fun and kitschy. And I saw the Eiffel Tower. But you know what, Henry? Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't do anything. The Eiffel Tower is one of those.
It's very pretty.
It's
I
want to
see the Eiffel Tower. There's a lot of things that are like that I saw that are like, I mean, yeah, technically there's many things. The Arc de Triomphe, what does it do, you know? But it's nice looking.
I guess so. This is why I don't want to see Stonehenge, because I know it's going to be exactly that. I'll be like, huh. It's a bunch of rocks. And then I know Marcus is going to be like, you're like Joey Ramone.
We'll punch you. We're going to punch you in your sides saying like, yeah, because you don't understand. Because those rocks will look very big to you because you're a fucking homunculus.
Oh, and my goodness. There and
I would be afraid that you were near those rocks because you're going to fucking lean on one like some kind of character from a B-grade John Turturro film, and you're going to domino effect the entire Stonehenge.
You know what? I wish I would. I wish I would.
I am of the scale where I can appreciate the size and shapes of the Stonehenge running between all the little holes.
Yes.
Digging out my little hobbit places.
You're allowed to still have childish sort of visions of grandeur. Everything is ruined when you can see the top of it, because then you see all of its flaws, all of its mistakes. But this is...
And that's where we have to look to you for your wisdom.
No, I know that. But the thing about France, the thing about the Eiffel Tower is what you don't realize, it's just like New York. All of these like sidewalks in New York, all of the romance. New York, in the summertime, smells like an outhouse. Everywhere you go is covered in trash. You're stepping in dookie. Romance in France is the same way, because you got that. You got all the water, you got all the canals, you got all this trash. It's not... I love it, but I'm just saying, it's like... It ruins...
Looking for romance.
No,
I think that's what this is about. I think what it comes down to is that what you are suffering from is a lack of a sense of romantic mystery in your day-to-day. And the idea of catching the glance of a stranger or being with a person you're intimate with many years and maybe discovering new corners of your intimacy deep within the canals of France.
No, buddy, I'm telling you. You ever been on a gondola in Italy?
I love boats.
All right.
I'm fine with them. I mean, I would love to do it. I'd love to heckle the guy and be like, faster, faster. And then I would do a lot of like, follow that guy. Here's $50. Follow that guy. Yeah. Follow him.
I had
a lot of fun.
You're going to end up in a bag, zipped up in a briefcase, found by TikTokers. And they'd be like, why did you die? And then the guy who runs the gondola would be like, he was Polish and annoying. And they'd be like, you are free to go, sir.
I just ended up put him on the pile.
Free to go.
Here's another story that I don't know. I'm just going to throw this out there.
This one's
crazy.
We
looked up McLean's.
This is
a story that I don't know what the hell is going on. It's another one of those. There's just so much fishy shit happening right now between the fucking lynchings, between all these kind of stuff. There's so much stuff that is really unexplainable but also highly explainable, and we just can't see it yet, and it's not being revealed to us. This comes from Canada. This is the Nova Scotia shooter case.
Of course.
No, this was he finally got named Gabriel Wortman.
And just a reminder for those, the Nova Scotia shooter, it was a one-day rampage. I believe he killed around 9 or 10 people, mostly relatives of his.
22. No, he killed 22 people.
22
all over.
People.
No, it is the biggest massacre in Canadian history. He killed many people, both people connected to him and randomly, stealing people's cars. Crazy story.
Yes.
He was dressed like a mounted police officer. He had a facsimile Mountie car, which is part of the reason why people thought he was a cop. It was a very scary story. But there is this story that came from McLean's. Now, I looked up McLean's to try to see how reputable this is. I was like, please don't let this just be fucking Canadian Breitbart. But it doesn't look like it is. It looks like it's legit. And they say that the killer, Gabriel Wortman, withdrew $475,000 in cash from a place called basically this Brinks stores, right?
Yeah,
he went to
a Brinks Depot
in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia on March 30th, which I believe was the day before. It was like a couple, like 20 days before the shooting, right?
Right.
And so he picked up, and just these duffel bags that show security cam videos. So he went to a Brinks Depot, which is where the bank gets their big piles of money, right? And what this kind of shows, it is very similar to the way the RCMP plays off their informants and confidential agents. right? They have all of these people working undercover.
Yes.
It is really, really strange. They don't know how he got access to this money. This is not a way civilians normally get this money. There's several mounted police officers that are speaking anonymously, saying because the official line is that the mounted police says that we had no connection with Wortmann.
Right.
But now they're saying, well, how the hell did he get access to this amount of cash, especially since his job description is the most Canadian word possible, because he's a dentist, but they called him a denturist.
Denturist? So this is according, and again, the RCMP is basically like their FBI. It's a huge, huge thing in Canada.
You don't
want to have contact with them, basically, because if you do, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. This article is written by Paul Palango, Stephen Mayer, and Shannon Gormley.
All right. So this is the McLean's reported that this money came from the CIBC Intria, a subsidiary of the Chartered Bank. And this is a quote. The money transaction was, quote, consistent with how the RCMP funnels money to its confidential informants and agents and is not an option available to private banking customers. That is why it's like, okay, then who is this? And we're not saying that he was an RCMP plant or anything. We don't know, but it's just highly, highly strange.
It's just really, really suspicioso, and we don't know why. It's like there, and I love it. So this is one of the fun witness testimonies that came from a person who works at the bank from the CIBC. Basically, they said a retail banking expert that he spoke to could have been a teller, who knows, but it's just such a Canadian witness testimony is that I wanted to read it.
Yes.
Now, when you come into my branch, you want a ton of cash, right? Then I say, well, you got to give us a couple of days. You know, we put in our Brinks order. I order the money through Brinks, and that's when the money arrives. You come into the branch, I bring into the back room, I count the money out for you, right? Sending someone to Brinks to get the money? I've never heard of that before. The reason is, if I'm the banker, and you've deposited your savings in my bank branch, I'm responsible for making sure the money goes to the right person. If you want this money, I'm going to have to verify your identity and document that. I can't do that if I'm transferring the money to Brinks.
I think you forgot to apologize at the end.
Well, that was the big thing, is that they're trying to say they had basically issued a formal apology for the RCMP. They basically saying, like, sorry for not catching this guy in the first place, which is, I guess, right, is a huge deal in Canada.
Well, he took out damn near $500,000. It's extremely strange that after you take out enough money to just go on vacation, basically for life, go to Punta del Este, go to Uruguay, go do anything you want with $500,000, and you get yourself 30 years of fun beach living.
But that's the Marvin Heemeyer story,
that you would do
too.
This.
The Marvin Heemeyer story, too, is that he fucking had $375,000. He had already gotten everything that he wanted before pulling the trigger on unleashing the killdozer on everybody. He
right.
got everything he wanted. You just became some kind of... the term is bitch baby, but he was a bitch baby with a killdozer.
Right.
That is just one of the fucking... that's a very powerful bitch baby.
Powerful.
What the RMCP is trying to say, the one thing that kind of fits with Wortmann is that he was obsessed with the Mounties and he dressed in the Mounties. And that's part of the reason why they think they might have some kind of secret relationship with him, was because they never investigated the fact that he had illegal arms on his, even though several people had called in saying that this guy's got fucking assault rifles on his property. And also no one prosecuted the domestic abuse he committed on his wife, which is, I mean, that just sounds like just unfortunately normal police work where
yeah.
they just are not, they just don't serve those things unless you're punching somebody in front of them. They are saying it might also just be somehow in his obsession with being a Mountie, maybe he figured out a way to fool these people. Like maybe it goes that far, but it's really, really strange. Also, who knows where he got that money from? Maybe he could have been saving it.
We're
talking about he might have been some kind of doomsday prepper.
Well, he could be a doomsday prepper. Would not be surprised. That oftentimes goes with hoarding firearms. And again, I'm not against having a couple of firearms. As a matter of fact, I plan on getting a large one day for home protection. And if you can snipe them from your kitchen, technically that's your land.
That is your land.
I don't think that's right.
I think that is incorrect.
That is incorrect. But according to Darren Campbell, he works with the RCMP. This is what he had to say. He said the investigation has not uncovered any relationship between the gunman and the RCMP outside. Now, this is an interesting twist here. Outside of an estranged familial relationship between the gunman and two retired RCMP members. So yeah. He says that we have no connection, but then he's like, he knows two of them that were retired, but they were friends with someone that he no longer talks with. I don't know. It's just very, very suspicious. No one really knows where this money has gone. I guess he didn't give it away. It is just Jessica Davis, a former senior strategic analyst for the CSIS and president of the principal consultant at Insight Threat Intelligence. She had this to say. She says, in the lead up to the terrorist attacks, people do withdraw large sums of money to prepare for the attack or to give it to someone else, like making final preparations.
And that it's quite possible.
Maybe that's the case. That's what I'm saying.
It's quite possible that he just had been saving all of this fucking money like a crazy person.
Maybe.
And had went and bought all of his ammunition and had done all the prep. That is quite possible. The main thing that it's fishy is, why did he get it from the Brinks Depot? How did he get it from there? And that's the one thing, which is just another, I guess that's another mystery that goes to the fucking grave.
We'll find out, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. But I think that's going to require deeper digging.
Okay, well, let's switch stories to a lighter story really quick here. This is a story that's near and dear to all of our hearts because it involves booze and it involves adorable monkeys. By the way, if you're going to read the New York Post, and I do recommend it because you do find little tidbits, a story like this is where New York Post, it's just like, this is New York Times, peak New York Times. This is
where they are really comfortably the top of news.
Without a doubt. So New York Post, Hannah Sparks, she writes, drunk monkey gets life behind bars for attacking 250 humans. Oh my goodness.
This is a monkey named Kahlua. This is in India. I think this is in India.
First of all, Kahlua is the cutest name for a drunk monkey ever.
It really is cute.
Like if Jeffrey Lebowski had a monkey, he'd name it Kahlua. And they would have their white Russians together.
So cute. But apparently, it attacked and teared through 250 people and killed one while on a fucking rampage.
Yeah, dude.
In India.
So I guess this is according to this article again. Apparently the monkey belonged to an occultist, and they say that he supplied the pet with a regular diet of hard liquor and possibly monkey meat. So I'm actually going to criticize the New York Post a little bit here, because we got ourselves a cannibal monkey.
This is a cannibal. That should have led the headline.
Yes. So the owner, who again, this is a supposed occultist, he was found dead. The monkey was like, what the fuck? Where's all my booze? So they think that this was the monkey going through violent withdrawal. Took his aggression out to people walking the streets.
Oh, no. Kissel, don't quit booze.
I'm never going to. Well, I might have to.
You might. The doctors and the police might tell you.
So he was attacking people, but strangely, he was particularly attacking the faces of women and children.
That's what gets you arrested right there.
It was just going crazy. Kahlua, 6 years old. They finally did. They didn't kill it, which is amazing. They arrested it.
How do you arrest it? Do you get little cuffs?
I don't know how they arrested the monkey. I just give it a banana and just wait for it to get tired after eating it. I have no clue what they do. But this is what happened. So it was ultimately brought to Kanpur Zoo, where he remained hostile towards female zookeepers. I have a feeling this drunk occultist taught this monkey
about men's rights. I don't know what happened. This guy just fucking did. He made a mean monkey.
Yes, he did. So this is according to the zoo doctor, Moed Nasser. He says, we kept him in isolation for some months and then shifted him to a separate cage. There has been no change in his behavior, and he remains as aggressive as he was. It has been 3 years since he was brought here, but now it has been decided that he will remain in captivity for all of his life.
That's how he did it. I mean, technically, I'm going to say that he was doing it on purpose. He was trying to get three square. He didn't want to go back to the public sector.
He wasn't ready, man.
He wasn't ready for the outside. He needed to stay in the pen.
He's fully institutionalized. He's got some.
We did this to him.
We did it. Ranting alcoholic occultist screaming at him all day, and then he's alone. And I'm surprised he didn't eat the man that used to take care of him. Start nibbling on his hands and stuff. They didn't mention that. But this is an interesting part of this story. They are testing monkeys when it comes to COVID because apparently they have a natural immunity after exposure to the virus. So perhaps this monkey, yes, he killed one and injured 250 people, perhaps maiming them for life. But it is also possible he's part of the cure for the coronavirus. So look at that. You know they're going to run a bunch of tests on him. But he's so cute. They got a picture of him, and you know, I mean, it's hard to be mad at something so cute. But then you do realize they will rip your face off, and they start with the soft tissue. So they'll rip your testicles off. Like the first thing they do is like eyes and nuts. So it's not fun.
It's so scary. It's so scary. The idea of a little thing being that evil, like something about it, because it's also like it's a 2-foot-tall cute little creature.
Yeah,
that could just fucking rip your nose off your face, and it's coming in for a while, like because all of our reactions would be like, oh, come here, Kahlua, no, you piece of bread, oh no, Kahlua, no, I was good to you, Kahlua.
I don't know what they sound like.
I was good to you. It's very scary.
I was good to you, Kahlua. Oh, my goodness. Danny Trejo, Halloween 2.
Yes. I was good to you, Michael.
Yes, I was good to you, Michael. Rob Zombie, I love him.
Next week, I'm going to do a little bit of a roundup of more UFO stories because we had a couple. Someone sent me some videos from a guitar player that they follow on Instagram.
Okay.
That was some of the best UFO footage I have seen in a minute.
Really? Okay.
I'll show it to you off air so you could see, but I want to find a way to put him out there.
Yes.
Because I can't speak towards the rest of his Instagram profile. I have no clue if it's good or not. But these videos of these UFOs, and I'm talking about exactly what they were talking about in Brazil. Those like porcelain squares, weird bleeding lights. I have to see whether or not that they are real or not. I think that's one thing I want to check. Just kind of see. Everyone's going to attack it anyway. There is some UFO shit happening.
Absolutely. Right. And
the Brazilian military, there was a leaked document that came out. Remember we talked about the Blue Haze UFOs that came out was probably a month ago? They came out and said there was some weird document that was released that I don't know whether or not, again, I don't know if it was real or not, but they also were talking about how there were what they called intruders out of these ships. There's some weird shit going on.
And if you want a little bit more insight on all things strange, if you go to our Patreon, you can listen to an interview that Henry and I did with John Tenney. Really cool guy, super interesting. You might recognize him from Hellier. That guy, he's been investigating paranormal for a long time. And his life story, we kind of get into that a little bit in the beginning of the interview. Really, really fascinating. Had a near-death experience very young, and that sort of led him down the path that he is on now. So if you want a little bit of a little appetizer whenever we talk about paranormal, you can always listen to that. And I know we have some paranormal stories coming up here in the future when it comes to Last Podcast on the Left proper as well.
Yeah, our summer of strange is continue.
Absolutely. All right, is it time for Hero of the Week?
Yeah.
All right, let's do Hero of the Week. Hero of the Week. This week's Hero of the Week is Columbus, Ohio. Why? Because petitioners have wanted to change the name to Flavortown, and it seems like the momentum is going in Guy Fieri's favor.
This might be unprecedented. Because I don't know if Columbus, Ohio is necessarily but it's the people of Columbus, Ohio that are driving this movement to rename Columbus to Flavortown. And now I know I've been disparaging of Mr. Fieri in the past.
Yeah. You don't even call him by his God-given television birth name.
I will never make him Italian.
He was given that name when he was on that Food Network star, and if a producer tells you that your name is now Fieri, not Fieri, you're Fieri for life, Henry.
I get it. It's the only thing I'm holding on to. My last shred. It's my last shred. But what I will say is that if you rename Columbus, Ohio, Flavortown. There is no fucking way we won't shoot a live special.
Oh my god! Of course,
there to be
I might
live
move
from
there.
Flavortown.
So there is a change.org petition calling on the mayor. The mayor's name is Andrew Ginther, to rename the city of Columbus to Flavortown. Now, if I'm the mayor, okay, it's like, oh, I might get some political pushback, sure. But then you could also be the mayor of Flavortown, which
the
is
mayor
so much better.
Of Flavortown. But technically, I think that if you're the mayor of Flavortown, you automatically become guilty of some form of sexual assault. Guy Fieri's not. I'm talking about the mayor of actual Flavortown, because the only way you could get past being mayor of Flavortown is you have to be like a cartoon pelican.
Well,
you have to have no genitals.
Well, I don't know about the genitalia on Mr. Ginther, but this petition was started by a 32-year-old former Columbus resident. This is what they had to say. They say, Columbus is an amazing city, but one whose name is tarnished by the very name itself. Its namesake, Christopher Columbus, is in the bad place because of all his raping, slave trading, and genocide. Now,
fuck
that's
Columbus.
Not a proud legacy.
Honestly.
Yeah, he says,
yeah,
why
Christopher Columbus is going to fuck himself. Like, technically, we're going to probably do a last podcast in the left episode on him at some point.
Well, he didn't even find America. why not rename the city of Flavortown? The name is twofold. For one, it honors Central Ohio's proud heritage as a culinary crossroads and one of the nation's largest test markets for the food industry, which is all that means. And I was from a small town called Stevens Point, Wisconsin. We were also a test market because they give us all of the worst sugary foods first and be like, did they die? Oh, they did not. We can take this national.
My parents also are in that. They're in a town in Florida. It's the same thing where it's just they get all of the rollouts. It's like my mom's like, oh, Henry Thomas, did you try the new? It's a pancake burrito. Anthony McDonald's. I was like, Mom, stop. Stop. They're trying to make you leave the house. Just stay in the house, Mom.
I remember I got Spider-Man cereal that no one ever heard of that was absolutely amazing. There was so many things that were in and out of the store. And I'm like, what is going on, America? Why don't you support these incredible products that a massively fat young Ben Kissel loves? They say, secondly, the chef-lebrity Guy Fieri was born in Columbus. So naming the city in his honor makes a lot of sense. And they say he's a good dude and it would be really superior to its current nomenclature. So there you go. Guy Fieri, you may just be the greatest Ohio resident in the history of Ohioans. And there's a lot of people great from Ohio.
Then you're going to get a lot of pushback on this. But I also do believe that he has proven himself to be at least one of the top citizens of Ohio. And yep. But I will say, if you're going to rename the entire city Flavortown, you have to at least name a public bathroom the Spring-Heeled Jack to Shitter of the Year.
Okay.
Just once, because our boy from Spring-Heeled Jack Coffee, the Spring-Heeled Jack Coffee is in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
And he's fueling the city.
That is another great reason to rename it to Flavortown. Spring-Heeled Jack, made in Flavortown, USA. Perfect.
That is branding.
It's branding.
That is crazy branding.
I love the idea. So there you go, people of Columbus. Here's to you, the next Flavortown. Can't wait to add you to our tour dates. Whenever we can tour in 2048, when we're doing Geriatrics on the Left, geriatric podcast on the Left.
Don't say it.
Either way, we will see you at some point just before we die.
I want to go out. I want to go out again.
No, inside. Inside.
I want to go out. Here we go. We've got some listener emails. Let's do some. Some of these are disgusting. I've been told to stop with the sounding information by fans.
What do you mean?
They don't want to hear about sounding anymore.
I hear you so much.
The last two weeks.
But that's only 2 weeks. I mean, you've definitely talked about grosser things for longer.
But that is, I mean, it seems that was the peak. And we really hit our limit with that.
Well, that's interesting.
So, okay. Until I see something new,
Because someone did send a bunch of emails about people finding him, having to find Q-tips up a man's penis, and they're not found on the x-rays. And I believe that one of the guys said that he had the Q-tips up in his penis, and he asked him, how did you get those Q-tips up there?
Uh-huh.
And he said, I had an itch. And that is rough. So here we go. This is another story. This is insane.
How would that solve an itch? Well, I don't know. Apparently, we're not allowed to go into it, but.
Ugh.
What if he just found a bunch of ear gunk inside of his What the heck is that doing in there?
Oh, it smells weird. Oh, it smells so weird.
Strange. Very strange.
All right. So a few years back, I was working as a security guard in a pretty well-known chain of hospitals in my area. I love Wendy's new chains of mental asylums.
Can't believe it. They have the IV drip just being that beautiful, beautiful chili of theirs.
It really calms you down.
Yeah, it does.
Now and then, we'd get patients from the local mental health facilities or the nearby jail prisons. Most of the individuals that came to us were fairly docile, harmless or so, heavily drugged. They would sit and drool or just stare into space with glassy button eyes. Jeez. It's very sad. It's
very, very sad.
It's very fucked up. But that's what they got to do, right?
I mean,
I can't wait for it. One day. Fingers crossed.
Uh-huh.
Then we, on occasion, would get something that we'd call a frequent flyer. Some of these individuals were actually dangerous. I understand that if you're sick, you may not have control of all your faculties, behaviors, or actions. But this was a bridge very far.
Okay.
We had a frequent flyer whose actual name, I'm going to admit. He was HIV positive. And he spit at all of the faces of the nurses, right? They put a special mask on him so he couldn't do so, right?
Got the old Hannibal Lecter mask, yeah.
Yes. However, when he didn't get his way, he had to wear the mask. Even though he can't get HIV from spit, it's just one of those, right?
You just don't want to be spit on.
I don't want to be spit on.
No.
However, when he didn't get his way, he had to wear the mask this man would throw. If he had to wear a mask on his face, he would throw himself on the floor, all 400 pounds of himself. Obviously, we can't leave him there. So nursing and security would have to pick him up and put him back in bed. This was his routine, his minor rebellion. He would do it as much as he could, making us pick him up while he fought and spit over and over again. It was a miserable work. Then one day we got a call. His name was attached to it. I immediately thought, oh, God, it's on the floor. Damn. I go to his room, the whole security team is there. Everyone on site in that hospital is huge. So that was quite a few people, including the director of operations. They're all looking grim and dressing in PPE, personal protective equipment.
Wait, hold on. So everyone is fat, so we got a 400-pound spitting patient like the world's largest lizard, and then we have a bunch of fat doctors around him.
There's a lot of people.
Is this Flavor Town? Is this Flavor Town Hospital?
No. No, the hospital is huge. Not everyone in the hospital is huge.
I thought everyone was like huge, or I was like, what is happening?
Welcome to Beef and Boar Hospital.
I only take advice from fat doctors, by the way, and doctors that smoke, because they give you advice and they know that they're not doing right, but that makes them tough.
I like them. Yeah, they're grim.
Yeah.
They're grim and they're unsure.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm thinking this is a huge deal. So I stand with them, and I put on protective gear also. No one warns me what I'm about to see. I'm second place, and the bums rush into the room. Jesus Christ. It's our big friend again, only this time he has torn off his colostomy bag.
Oh, no.
He has used a spoon to dig into the opening, and he is flinging shit from inside of himself at us.
Oh,
every now and then, he would get a chunk of flesh with some shit. And then he'd slurp it off the spoon like it was chocolate ice cream. After them disgusting back and forth and
some
flesh eating.
Can we go back to the sounding conversation, please? This is so much. He's eating Dookie out of his own body.
Hole. This is like
the colostomy.
You know when
oh my God.
You know when you eat ice cream out of the tub, you go and you sneak a little bit?
Sure.
Like, he's doing that to his shithole that's in his torso.
Oh.
So we managed to take the spoon away and we restrained him. I quit my job a little after that. To this day, I can't get the image of shit-covered flesh on a spoon being shoveled into his mouth.
So he must have been... Yeah, no, that'll stick with you. That's worse than finding a corpse on a beach. So he's digging so hard with this spoon that he's taking the... He must have been on so many drugs that he didn't feel it or something, or like...
I,
think that he was crazy and motivated.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes that's all you need.
Sometimes.
He was on, it's not like he was on fucking PCP. He was in the hospital permanently.
Right. Oh, wow. Well, rough day. Thank you, Frontline. Thank you. Those are the stories of the Frontline we don't hear. And I think we should talk about those more.
So scary. So fucking
very
scary.
Scary.
So scary to be a doctor working for. We got to do something about the mental health industry in our country.
Sure.
And you know what? I think Kissel and I think we're going to figure it out. You know what the big thing I'm going to say is? Burger bar. Because, like, you know, when you're trapped on a cruise ship, it's fun every 2 hours to go to the burger bar. You can make yourself a burger, see that they change out all the toppings. Just something to distract people.
I love that idea.
Okay. Now, here's a story of how my dad, maybe one of the first service members to witness the UFOs that you most recently discussed on the Side Stories episode, Space Poltergeist. In 1973, Dad joined the Coast Guard, and while serving on a base in southern Alaska, he had his first encounter with the otherworldly. The story goes that around midnight, Dad is taking a walk on the road leading away from the Coast Guard lighthouse. Being winter in Alaska, the road is covered in ice and compressed snow, and early in the day they ran the plow, so he is surrounded by shoulder-high banks of snow. He is also on alert because bears. So he's walking along, enjoying an uncommonly quiet night and the full moon, when he suddenly feels he's being watched. He stops and looks around, worried that he has walked into the sight of a polar bear. That would be fucking scary.
Definitely. You got to get away.
He sees nothing. He continues walking, but then he hears something. He describes it like a whoomp. A heavy noise, almost like a large animal exhaling, or a huge bellows being worked, like a whoomp. Again, he looks and he looks around and he sees nothing. But he hears the sound again. He's now shaken and reminded of just how alone he is and decided it might be time to start heading home.
Yeah.
As he turns around, he becomes aware of something above him. He looks up, sees a large object hovering a mere 6 feet directly above his head. He has no clue how it got to be there without his notice. He had been looking at the moon just moments before. The object was white and maybe 20 feet long. He describes the shape as being like a fat or puffy cigar. As he stares open mouth and trying not to evacuate his bowels.
Yeah, thank God.
You never tried to do it.
Well, I mean, maybe if you don't want to be abducted, just take a big dump in your pants and they'll leave you alone.
Nice,
I don't know.
It also keeps you moving.
Yeah, sure.
As he stares open mouth, he hears the sound again. Whomp. Clearly coming from the object. At this point, he decides it is time to get gone. As kids, our favorite part of the story was how he ran so fast that his heels were kicking him in the butt. And he just straight up says,
"Wait, so he ran away?
He ran away.
Like, with his heel? I mean, that's not even the fastest way to run.
No, it's dangerous. Technically, you got to be careful of your hamstrings. But what he says here, as soon as he saw the Pentagon releases and the videos that showed the small white Tic Tac, whatever the fat cigar." He said, that's exactly what I saw.
All right. Well, we'll just do a couple of emails this week. Thank you so much for sending those in. Love to hear from you. Those are freaking trippy. Both of those stories are trippy and strange for totally different reasons.
There's just so much in life. There's
you know
so
what
much
there
in
is.
Life. You
there
know,
is.
There's so many different experiences we can all have and share. And that's one of those that you're just like, it's just something about the shit covered lumps of flesh going to the man's mouth like a bunch of ice cream that also fucks with me.
Sure. I mean,
makes
but
me
then
truly
again,
upset.
You have the majestic world of ufology where you look up in the sky, you see an enlarged Tic Tac, and it almost makes you forget that at some point you saw someone dig into their own flesh like it was the world's most disgusting buffet and eat their own flesh and shit. So that is the wonder of life, isn't it? This is why if you are thinking about ending it all, you're done with life. Never forget, at some point, you may be able to see either of those things. And if
you don't know.
You don't know. You never
or
know.
Sometimes, you know, like you'll do something fun like, you know, I saw across the street, a guy in a full open window, totally nude, having a normal conversation with what looked like his family. So I don't know what it was, but it wasn't yelling or anything,
see,
and I got to see that.
That's a nude house. And yes, Norman Rockwell didn't paint that because he was a very stuffy conservative man. But that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. The nude family. Whatever the rules are that are established within that home, then it's all things go. Unless, of course, those rules are very disgusting and felonious, in which case you gotta get out of there. But anyway.
I try not to stare.
No, that's good. I think at some point it becomes... At what point is it illegal if they are just clear of you? Because obviously in New York, for anyone that's visited, you know if you're on the bottom floor, you live in an apartment, your windows are open, you are theater for the world.
Anyone can see you. Going into my kitchen, and I had no curtains, and I was living with our friend Carly and Jeff at the time, and she had the cat, and I was going through a phase where I was sleeping nude.
Sure.
And I remember emerging into the kitchen completely nude, didn't even think about it, picked up the cat, stroking the cat, normally petting the cat, and looking across and just seeing a man at a copier, because it was an office across the street from where I used to live. In the very first apartment I ever had, just looking at me, like over a copier, as I'm just petting the cat completely nude. And I just feel like he might have been jealous. But he didn't understand that I was scarily out of work at the time.
And you still had roommates, Henry. Were you not concerned?
Jeff, they were there. They were out of work.
So never trust your out of work roommate and hide your cat, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I was normal. I wasn't blowing it or anything. Don't fuck the cat. Remember that. We learned that from Ghost Cats of the South.
Well, we have learned that. We learned that a long time ago, almost instinctively. Like, we were born with that.
Thank God. Not like that woman last week who had sex with three different breeds of dogs and remember each one of their names and each member. Yeah. That's a horrible thing that I'll always carry for forever.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, we're definitely, our brains are scarred. Your brains are scarred. We're all,
the show.
You know, it is what it is.
We're all part of this. Just check out last podcast merch. Speaking of scarred, mm-hmm. Check it out. We got that bike for sale. I can't believe it.
It immediately sold out. I had no idea there were so many bikers. Not that Henry and I don't bike. Marcus bikes, but I was like, I don't know. Is anyone going to buy a freaking bike? And I guess we did. I guess a lot of people did.
It is wonderful. Thank you guys so much for your support as always.
Yes.
You're further there for us. We're there for you. Thank you so much for listening to our bullshit.
Absolutely.
And so that's why it's important, man. You got to live every day.
Mm-hmm.
Live every day like you could potentially, by a witch's fucking whim,
ooh,
be transported into the body of another human. How would you do? What would you do then? If I was transported to the body of some buxom model, what would I do then? I would probably spend hours in the bath. You know what I mean? But I'd be kind to me.
You would have to, is it still your brain?
Yes.
Oh, that would be horrific for you, buddy.
I would just be showing them to a bunch of you know what? I'd be showing my breasts to a bunch of homeless people to make them smile.
I don't know if that would end nice? Well, but sure.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You could do
and
that
And I would
now.
Be laughing about it. I'd be like, hey, boss. Hey, boss. Because it'd be weird if you could transport into another body, but your voice stayed exactly the same. So
yeah.
We'd be like, hey. Like it was just me looking like fucking Demi Lovato or something. And I just showing them. You know what I mean? That'd be great. You just got to love the twists and turns life will take.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because one day you're loving your life just fucking being a shoe salesman. Outside, you know what I mean? You're selling shoes next to the highway.
Sure.
The next day, you're fucking finding a bunch of bodies in a fucking suitcase.
Look at
playing
that.
Playing an app on your phone.
Look at that. Live, laugh, love.
There's anything can happen. Anything can happen every day.
Anything can happen. That's right, folks. Also, when it comes to merch, we got new top hat shirts out there. So check those out. It's Abraham Lincoln. It's a skull. It's vomiting the American flag, or at least a flag. All right, everyone. Thank you so much.
And that was done by our boy. That was done by our friend. What a gas.
Yeah.
We're gonna give it to Andy Org, man, because we forget that he fucking has designed so many things for us for over the year. He also did the side stories. New art as well. He's very talented.
I have no idea how any of you people create anything, because I watch those drawing videos on Instagram where they're like, it's going to become 3D, and then you see when the object becomes 3D in your brain, and I'm like, that's witchcraft. How'd you make that 3D, though? Like, how come it looks 3D now? Because I just saw, like, 4 seconds ago it wasn't 3D, and it still confuses me, and it makes me angry.
People got skills.
Yeah.
We just don't have very many skills. We literally just yell.
Yeah, that's true. All right, everyone, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, one and all.
Also,
a final thing. I mean, I hope that everyone's still listening. Thank you to the creators of Last of Us 2.
The Last of Us 2.
That's the
Holy
sweetest
shit.
Thing in the world.
I can't fucking believe this. We'll talk about a little bit when we do the relax fit with Marcus, because he's the one most affected because he was playing the game. Because I haven't gotten to that game yet. I haven't played the original Last of Us either. And it is just, but I mean, I know that made Marcus, it made his year.
It's insane.
I've never experienced anything like that. It really is kind of humbling and nice to see that we are doing what we can to entertain people as genuinely as possible and see the effect that it has. And I hope that we can continue to do that for as long as possible.
I hope so, too. All right, everyone. I'm going to do another Hail Yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail man.
Thank you for listening. Drive safe. Watch out, there's a deer in the road.
Don't scare people for no reason.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.